Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Well, this morning, the message that I'm going to bring to you is about the patterns of our thoughts and the privilege of knowing Him. And yesterday, I was at the camp, and I was studying and praying in one of the rooms there. And you know how we were worshiping this morning, just the joy of the Lord, how that was a big part, you know, and the joy, and you could feel that. And the joy of the Lord is what? It's our strength. Well, my brother Damasane, and I asked permission to share this. My brother Damasane, back there in the back that blows the shofar, I'm sure you guys hear that every once in a while. I was studying, and all of a sudden, I heard him dancing. I heard him singing. I heard him shouting. I heard him blowing the shofar. And I heard him blowing a harmonica. I heard all these different things going on in his room. He was in his room. And it went on and on and on and on. So about an hour and a half into it, and this is not abnormal. He does this a lot. He's in the privacy of his room, and he's rejoicing in the Lord. And so I kind of snuck up the back stairs, and I didn't want to startle him, so I started saying hallelujah as I was coming up the stairs so I would get permission to have entry into that place. And when I got at the top of the stairs, of course, Damasane was just drenched. He was sweating. His whole shirt was soaked, and he was dancing, and he had his flag, and he was waving it. And it really moved my heart. And I sat down at the top of the stairs, and I entered in with him. And I thought to myself, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And for him to worship that long, that hard, by himself, that's not giving, you know, attention to him. I'm just using him as a testimony of what God did. Can you imagine God's heart regarding Damasane worshiping like that? Can you imagine that? And I started, and I felt the joy of the Lord on me at the top of the stairs, you know? And then it was just kind of so precious. And at the end of it, I kind of looked around, and I saw him, and he got on his knees, and he started to weep. And I was able to pray with him and just be there with him. And it really moved my heart. And so when we get an opportunity to worship, I don't like, you know, people that try to draw attention to themselves by worship. But I love the fact that we can be free to worship God. And God wants you to be free. He wants you to release your heart. He wants you to dance sometimes. And I understand that maybe you feel like your dance step should be in the privacy of your home. That's okay. But still do it. Dance unto him and give everything that's due to him. Amen? I just had to, thanks, Damasane. You messed me up yesterday, my brother. Amen. Okay. The patterns of our thoughts and the privilege of knowing him. I've been sharing lately about the fact that no one knows what you're thinking except you and God, unless your thoughts manifest somehow, and then people can kind of figure it out. But nobody knows what you're thinking. God does all the time. And my concern is this, for myself, for my family, for all of you, for the body of Christ, is what influences our thought patterns? How are they formed throughout the day? What happens in the midst of our thoughts? Are our thought patterns influenced because we just got out of the Word of God and it was a lamp to our feet? Are our thought patterns formed because of prayer and pressing in? Are our thought patterns formed by worship? Are our thought patterns formed by the lost and we want to go out and evangelize and we want to share our hearts and share Jesus with them? So the thought patterns, what are they like throughout the day? And I've asked myself that question. What is influencing my thought patterns? And then the other phrase of the privilege to know him. And I want to hone in so much this morning about the privilege to know him, because I believe that in the privilege to know him, your thought patterns are formed from that relationship of knowing him. I believe that with all my heart. And I don't think sometimes that we understand the great privilege that we have And hopefully this morning, through the scripture, through the movement of the Holy Spirit, through prayer, that God is going to shock you this morning. I don't want you to be distracted, even though some of you are right now. I want you to be shocked by the Holy Spirit. I want you to be shocked by the Word of God. I want you to be overwhelmed, as we sang this morning, about how much He desires you. And that's really the word, desire. Because if you don't understand that God desires you, if you don't understand that, then you'll pull away from Him. And your thought patterns will think more about what you do wrong than how much He loves you and what you do right in the eyes of the Lord. And so you have to ask yourself, what am I willing to do? Where am I willing to go to press in my journey and my walk with God? Where do I want my eyes focused to be more centered upon the things of the Lord? How much do I want to dance in the privacy of my home or pray or fast or read so that God can begin to influence me in such a way that I'm wrecked every day? I'm wrecked because He's touched me. Damascene wrecked me a little bit. I was already wrecked. I got wrecked earlier in the week. And so it seems just like the whole week God has been wrecking my life. I want to say something about that. The activity of the Holy Spirit can change in your midst and in your heart and in your life. There's different seasons that the Holy Spirit is functioning in your life. But you've got to ask for it. If you have faith to believe, that's great. But if you don't ask the Holy Spirit to do something within your heart, nothing's going to happen. You have to ask to receive, correct? That's what the Word says. So there's different times of activity of the Holy Spirit within your heart and in your life. Different seasons. And I sense in my life that this is a different season of the activity of the Holy Spirit within me and moving me. But I also believe it's not just me. It's all of us. It's all of us. I don't know what the great shaking is going to be like, but I do know one thing. It's going to be a great shaking. But we definitely have something to look forward to in the midst of it. And again, it's the activity of the power of the Holy Spirit of God within your life. So, in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, "Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Again, how do the patterns of your thoughts affect your day? That's a question for you. Where do they mostly flow from? That's a question. Where do they flow from? What influences your thoughts daily? Another question. The scripture says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Is the Word of God influencing your thoughts? Is the Holy Spirit invited to lead through your thought patterns? And here's where it gets good, real good. Is God's love for you influencing your thoughts? Is His desire for you influencing your thoughts? That He declares, He says in His Word that He desires every one of you. And if He does, the King of Glory, Jesus, desires you to be with you and to love on you, what a privilege of knowing Him, the King of Glory. Before I go any farther, I just want to read this banner up here. This Psalm 27:4, it says, "One thing I have desired," this is what King David is saying, "of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire, to study, to meditate upon His word in the temple." One thing I have desired of the Lord, one thing. This is what I want to share with you. That one thing didn't happen just like that. It happened through a process and a progression of His life. Sometimes we can say from the pulpit or from church, you need to do this, boom, and like you have to do it like that. That was a progression. He didn't start out saying, "This one thing I desired." Because of His love and His life, He began to move in that direction, and His how God would move within him, he came to the conclusion, this one thing I desire. Every one of us have desires in this room. David had other desires than that desire. He did. But he made it clear that this is the one. This is the main thing right here, that I desire to behold him, to be with him, and to know him. I want to give you guys some time to let God, through the Holy Spirit, live in the progression of transition in your life to be transformed into the fullness of what he has for you. I want you to quit being so hard on yourself and judgmental about yourself. Because something I'm finding out about God, granted, we do not want to trample underfoot and insult the grace that saves us. We don't want to do that. But I'm telling you that God focuses more and delights more in the beauty inside you and the goodness inside you and the things that he sees about you more than what you do wrong. Are your thought patterns about what you do wrong and you're not measuring up? I say rebuke it in the name of Jesus and deal with it. And start thinking about how he feels about you and how he loves you. Because granted, in the body of Christ, and I've heard it over and over, we think about what we do wrong. We don't want to stay in that, but if you begin to move into the desire of knowing him and his desire for you, those things that you do wrong, you're not even going to desire to have anything to do with them because of the love of God in your life. And you begin to get a revelation, he desires me. That revelation right there will change everything about how you act, how what you do, how you live. He desires to be with me. Jesus, the King of glory, desires that. He wants to be with me. He wants to be with you. More than anything. More than anything. The progression toward a heart, and here it goes, a heart of single-mindedness. Because I think our minds and our thoughts would begin to become single-minded because of the heart and the compassion that he has for us. And this excites me. I'm passionate about this because it's shifting. It's changing even things even now in my life. I'm going to get into a couple scriptures in a minute that overwhelm me and should overwhelm you too. Again, David didn't say this was the only thing, but David made many decisions in his life that brought him to that place right there. He made decisions. He didn't show up one day and boom, here I am. No. The theologians say that he was probably in his 40s, somewhere in his middle 40s when he wrote that statement. So he had already lived a big part of his life. My point is that this one thing, the desire of the Lord, it's not automatic. It takes time. It's a progression. And this is from years, years and years and years of pressing in to know him. And he's okay with it. He loves it. I want you guys to walk out of here to know that he desires you and you're awesome in him. I want you to have joy in you. I said, Lord, just whatever that junk is, just you can do this. Just wipe it clean and let them know today how much you desire them. You desire them. And I'm sure there's a couple of you out there, come on, Bob, you have no clue. I don't have a clue. But I have a clue about Jesus and the Father. I have a clue that he loves us so much. I have a clue that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit got together in their council. And in that council, they made a decision. The Father kind of, he looks like the one that would decree something and Jesus would carry it out and the Holy Spirit would empower it. I don't know what that council's like. I have no clue of what that's like, the Trinity. But I have this to say, somewhere in that, they decided that you and I were so worth it that the Father said, this is what we can do. And the Son said, I'll do it. And then it happened that he was born. He left. The omnipotent God, creator, uncreated one who created everything, leaves heaven to become a baby. You all know that. But did you know when he said that? That he loved us so much that he said, I'll become a human in order to save all the humans. Do you know that Jesus will never, ever be not be human? Did you ever think about that? He's human now forever. forever. He did that for us. He left the throne to come here, and now he's seated at the right hand of God. But he will never not be human again. He's going to be human forever. He's going to have kneecaps, teeth, everything, forever. A glorified body, but he's going to have it all. That's how much he loves you. He decided to do that for you, to save you, and to save me. The question is, what kind of love is that? It's massive. It's massive that he loves us that much. In my spiritual growth, I have contended. And there's been good times and bad times. And I've struggled. But I've always come back to the yes. And I've always come back to the fact that he loved me. And I always came back to the fact that he would never give up on me. And somehow I would see that he would have his hand out for me. He'd have his arms out for me. And I was able to walk into his arms and feel his embrace and feel his love. In the Song of Solomon, it says, "You have ravished my heart, my sister, my bride." When it says my sister, it's speaking about the humanity, because he comes down as our brother. But it's also speaking about the eternal covenant of the bride and relationship that we will have with him for all eternity. You have ravished my heart. So in Webster's dictionary, this ravish is defined this way: as being filled with emotions of joy or delight because of one who is unusually attractive. Guess who that is? Who is it? It's you. You are unusually attractive to Jesus. When was the last time you thought that thought about yourself? But that's what he says. He's ravished over you. He finds you unbelievably attractive. This is you. That truth is so big, it's hard to get your mind and your heart around it. Me? You. He loves you that much. Before I go any farther, this is part of the wrecking process this week. As I got a reading, Sue gave it to me, and it really, in the prayer room, and it really messed me up. And I've made like about 100 copies in there in the back, so we'll hand them out when you leave. So you'll get this if you want it. You don't have to take it. But when I read this is about being ravished. When I read this, man, oh man, it really did wreck me, and it did really wreck a few other people. And Holy Spirit, help us to just gather this in. It says, imagine the heart of God ravished over you right now. Not just later when you live better in the mess of your life. Jesus is completely overjoyed with you. This phrase, "you have stolen my heart," can be translated, "you have made my heart skip a beat. You have enchanted, enthralled my heart. You have brought ecstasy to my heart." Or, "you have made my heart swell with joy." Need we say more? Jesus' heart is filled with an extravagant, furious love that can never, ever be quenched. His loving affection for his people can barely be described. He is overcome with emotions of joy and delights every time you come to his mind, which is all the time. Now, this is big. Listen, we struggle with people. But Jesus finds the same people we struggle with unusually attractive. Ooh, let me say that again. We struggle with people, but Jesus finds those people we're struggling with unusually attractive. Let me say that again. We struggle with people, but Jesus finds those same people we struggle with unusually attractive. Because his heart is captivated with love for human beings, even while they are insecure, weak, and imperfect. This is the love of Jesus. Now listen to this. This is the love of Jesus that will demolish strongholds of rejection and the negative thoughts that are entrenched in the human hearts, the thoughts. Nothing is more powerful than the omnipotent love of God. His passion for you is all-consuming, and it's relentless. It will not stop pursuing you. It will not stop. You can run as hard as you want to run. It will not stop. The same way the Father loves the Son is the same way Jesus loves you. If you can put up on the screen John 15:9. We'll stop in the middle of that real quick. This is another verse. If you can get your heart and your thoughts around this verse will change you dramatically if you get a revelation of this verse. Because listen to what it's saying, and this is confirming what I've been saying. Just as the Father has loved me, Jesus is saying this, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. That right there is so massive that if you would believe that, if you would receive that, that he loves you the same way the Father loves him. Turn to John 17, verse 23, or it's going to be up on the screen. And here's another verse that should just knock it out of the park for you. I'll start with 22, so 23 makes more sense. The glory which you have given me, Father, I've given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I and them and you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you have sent me and love them even as you have loved me. So the way the Father loves Jesus, think about this, the way that Jesus loves the Father loves you that way, and Jesus loves you that way. The Father loves you that way. In the Old Testament, it was really hard for them to get a grasp of that. And Jesus really brought some things to the, you know, to the forefront, that and the power of the Holy Spirit to understand how much he loves us and how he cares about us. So back to this writing. It says, sooner or later, after reading John 15, 9, sooner or later, it will dawn on you, God could not love you any more than he does right now. If you are better tomorrow, he will not love you more. If you are worse tomorrow, he will not love you any less. His divine love has captured us. And then the quote in the Song of Solomon, you have stolen my heart. Our hearts must be able to rest in the undisturbed love of Jesus. Our hearts must be able to rest in the undisturbed love of Jesus. Or the shaking around us will affect the sweet communion of our hearts with him. It is not enough that we understand what he did on the cross, which is amazing, or what he will do in the coming revival, the great harvest. We must know about his deepest, here it is, desires for us and how he feels about us right now. Right now. Right in this moment. And he will do whatever he can to let you know that. And you need to be able to do whatever you can to position yourself to hear that and let him love on you. Let his love overwhelm you. When it says in the Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 10, I am my beloved's and his desire is toward me. His desire, the whole Song of Solomon is about Jesus, the bridegroom, conquering king, and the bride of Christ. And his desire is toward me. You know what I say about that? If Jesus' desire is toward me, really toward me, then I want to allow his leadership to be in my life because it's good and I can trust it. I want somebody to lead me that has such a desire for me. Amen? Same thing with relationships and marriage. That's how it should be. If this statement, if we can apprehend this statement, and who he is and what it's saying, this should shift things within our heart. Because it's such a big, big truth for all of us to know that. His desire is toward me. Our identity is found in belonging to him and allowing his leadership to have its way. There's so many different facets of God's love. Again, John 15, 9. John 17, 23. He loves us so much. I guess the ultimate statement of worth could be John 15:9 and John 17. Because it values you, and it, you know, when people might ignore you, or you think that maybe nobody cares and nobody even knows I'm around, and you've went through things and people have said terrible things, and maybe somebody's left you, somebody's hurt you. If you can get into this place and allow Jesus' love to value you, and that's where you find your identity, you'll be able to do whatever you need to do to walk out your life in peace and in love. You will. That you find that identity in that place. That's where you get your worth. Your ultimate worth is from a place of love. I'm trying to think of how can I explain it a little better. Maybe a conversation between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What do I have to do? Well, you're going to have to become human. Okay. What's the plan? You're going to have to love them so much that you're going to go to the cross on their behalf. You're going to suffer and you're going to die. And they're going to know how much you love them. And you're going to be, oh, by the way, you're going to be human the rest of eternity. And Jesus says, yes. He says, yes. Changes things, doesn't it? That'll cause you not to worry about anybody else. Are you kidding me? He values me that much? Yes, he does. Absolutely. Every one of you. So when Deb got up and shared, come into the deep, I knew it was the depths of his love. I knew that's exactly what he was saying. I said, you want to get it out now or you want to get it out later? She said, I'll get it out now. And maybe it'll help people understand later. I said, I think it will. So that's what he's asking you. Will you do that? Will you come and be with me? What an amazing, amazing lover that loves us so much. Such a radical truth. And if we can get our thoughts, and if we can get the understanding of the privilege of knowing him, this truth is going to change everything in our lives, even from when we walk out this door. And that's what I'm going to pray, that the Holy Spirit sears this, burns this into your heart. And when you try to drift off in a different direction, the Holy Spirit is going to rope you and pull you right back in and say, remember, but I'm this, I don't care about that. I'm thinking about this about you. This is what I see in you. I love you. I desire to be with you. Changes everything. Changes everything. Again, I can't fathom the counsel of heaven, but the Father, it kind of originates with the idea, the Son declares them, and the Holy Spirit releases power. That's like so little, but, you know, who can know any of that stuff? But it just seems that way. In the scripture, it also says that he brought me, in the Song of Solomon, he brought me to the banqueting house, banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. His banner is his leadership, what I said earlier. He sustained me with cakes of raisins, refreshed me with apples, for I am lovesick for him. Where's Jerry Reeder when we need him? I'm lovesick for him. His banner over me is love. I guess the Lord, you could say this. Jesus is saying to everyone in this room and to all the people across the globe, my victory over you is my love. Banners in the old days was banners that they held of victory and moving forward in armies. And so our victory is in his love. Your victory is not in another man or a woman. Your victory is the banner that's over you, which is his love. That's your victory. And that's how you're going to go forward. What are your thoughts? Are your thoughts manipulated by family, circumstances, the news, media, what somebody's doing over in this church or somebody's doing over in this church, or this is what I think's happening. The banner over you is love. And when his victory of love is over your life, you will be free. And you will discern and you will see things and you will be overwhelmed by the intimacy that he has for you because you're just you. You'll be overwhelmed by that. The victory of your life is found in his love, the banner of love. The bride, I always want to kind of clarify this. I wrote it down. The bride means deep partnership. Again, when he says, my sister, I became human. I became like you, brother, sister. And I want to highlight this one more time as I'm kind of winding up here. We think sometimes that God is only concerned what we do wrong. His banner over me is love. What about the good that you do? What about the good that you do for others? When we connect in his love, we get the bigger picture. There is a glorious plan that God has for you. The truth about my life is not what I do wrong. The truth about my life is what I do right in the midst of longing to know him and be with him more. He sees your heart. The enemy is always going to accuse you. He's always going to say you are a failure, you are no good, you've messed up, nobody cares, you're all alone. And Jesus is always going to define you by the love that he has for you if you will let him. He will define you. He'll create those plans. He'll let those plans go forth that he has for you in the place of love. Now just a couple quick things. I wanted to hit something a little more current and just say that in Ephesians it says that God cherishes you. That's a whole different aspect. He cherishes you. In Ephesians 5 it says that he might present her to himself a glorious church, a glorious church. Now let me just listen to me real quick on this. Don't lose this. Okay, you probably say, how in the world is that going to happen? A glorious church. I hear, you know, of division. I hear this, you know, da, da, da. How's that going to happen? I say to you, just wait. Just wait and watch how it's going to happen. Because God is going to pour out his spirit like never, never before. And you can trust in that. And what's going to happen? It's going to create, it's not in the word, it's not a lie. It's going to create a glorious church someday. That in the midst of shaking and the outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit is going to rise up and be beautiful and loving and caring and on fire. And it's done by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's coming. It has not happened. But we press in now so the activity of the Holy Spirit in our hearts can prepare us for what the shaking is going to bring and the outpouring. And guess what happens? He has a glorious, beautiful bride that's made herself ready for all eternity to be in covenant with him. Is that awesome? It's coming. Yeah, right. It's not happening now. No, just wait. The outpouring is going to happen. It's going to be huge. And he says, present her to himself a glorious bride. Husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. He cherishes his body, which is you. Nobody hates their own body. Shouldn't. He cherishes you. He loves you. And then listen to this scripture, and this helps about being hard on yourself. Michael, you can come on up. 1 Corinthians 4:5. 1 Corinthians 4:5, the Apostle Paul is saying this, kind of coming to a full conclusion. Judge nothing. Judge nothing. You guys with me? Judge nothing. It goes back to that word. Don't worry what's happening in other people's lives. He loves them. Yeah, but you wouldn't believe what they did. He loves them. So he says, judge nothing until the Lord comes. who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsel of the hearts. The counsel of our hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Each one, another way you could say that, God will affirm each one of us for all the good and the things that we've done. I love that. So even with us, we don't rebuke, we affirm and encourage. The whole truth about our lives includes much more than wrong we've done. He defines us by our longing to in a genuine way to love Him. He sees more in our hearts than our outward actions. When our obedience comes from a place of sincerity, it begins to shift things. Now let me give you a couple quick scriptures that validate what I just said to you. How many of you, you know, I love the life of David, okay? And the scripture. And it says that, how many of you know that David failed so many times according to the scripture? Yet God's, this is it. See, this is the, okay, how many times have you failed? David failed, right? Can I get a witness? Okay. But yet this is what God says about David, the one who did all that failing. This is what he says about him. This is crazy. It's amazing. His testimony was this. His life was that of David, that he did all that God asked of him, his will, and fulfilled God's purposes. God testified about David. He testified and said in Acts 13:22, he testified and said, I have found David to be a man after my own heart who will do all my will. Well, when I read the scripture, he didn't do all God's will. But God looked at what? His heart, his intentions. And God says he was a man after my own heart. Why was that? You know why it was? Because he never quit and he never gave up and he kept saying yes. That's why. How many of you know the story of Gideon? An angel of the Lord said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. What did Gideon think about himself? He was hiding out in the wine press, wanted nothing to do with it. But God said, no, this is what I see. I'm just going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to ask you for a moment to pray and ask God to help you to see how he feels about you and how he loves you. Don't quit. It's not about your wrongs. It's about your longing. Holy Spirit, I just ask for you to come. I ask that you would help every one of us to be able to rest in your grace and the forgiveness that you've brought us. And I'm asking God right now, would you come and reveal your heart toward every person in this room, how much you love them, how much you long for them. How much you desire them. How much you desire them. Jesus, fill their hearts and let them be overwhelmed in this moment by your furious love, your affections. I want you to just take a moment and bring everything to the Lord. And when I say everything, just bring your life. Bring your life. Say, here's my life. Here's my life. I say yes again. If you can pray that, if you're feeling it, pray that. Ask him to overwhelm you with his love right now. And in this day and in the days to come, ask him. Ask Jesus to show you his desire for you. Ask him. Not long ago, we were talking about how Jacob became Israel and Saul became Paul. And there's moments that things shift in your hearts and in your lives. And if you feel like that is that moment right now and God wants to give you a new identity in him and you're feeling that tug, we just want to open the altar and have you come forward if that's you. If you feel like the Lord's doing that right now in your life. Just want to ask you, if not, we understand, but if that's you, come on up and we'll pray over you. This is a new time. The activity of the Holy Spirit is doing something new and different. He's still the same, but he's doing something. When was the last time that you felt God's presence and you were overwhelmed? And you just either cried or worshiped. When was the last time? I want you, those times, they should be more frequent. We should be rejoicing more and more. I'm going to close with a story, a testimony. Keep coming. I want to close with this. Wednesday, we were here in the house of prayer. Joshua Eaton and Arlette were leading worship, and Sue Anna was praying, and Christy was in the back, a few others, and I was pacing. And there was a lady, you know, middle-aged lady. She walked by the doors out there, and she was carrying something, and she looked and seen House of Prayer, House of Prayer. And she walks away about 3 or 4 steps, and she turns back, and she talks to my sister Linda, and Linda shares what we're doing in here. So she comes in, and when she comes in, she walks straight down the aisle. I thought she was going after Josh for a second. And she walked straight down the aisle, and she turned and fell here in the front and started weeping and crying out. And I knew by how she prayed that she had been in church. And she was anxiety-ridden, and she had all kinds of fear going on. And we prayed probably about 40 minutes with her, I'd say. Somewhere close to that. And the Holy Spirit came in and just brought peace upon her. and she was so peaceful. And Josh pulled down his headset, and he was listening to what I was praying, and Josh started singing the prayers over her. And I said, now they're singing over you. Now they're singing his heart over you. And this woman got up, and I'm telling you, no exaggeration, completely, absolutely changed from how she walked into the house of prayer. And you know what she said to Christy on the way out? This is how it's supposed to be. This is how it's supposed to be. This is how it's supposed to be. And it is how it's supposed to be. You bring your burdens, you bring them to him, and you encounter him, and he brings healing and touches you. Don't you let the enemy beat you up today. Don't you let the enemy tell you anything wrong. You tell him how much Jesus desires you and how he is focusing on the goodness and who you are and all that you will be in Christ. Amen? That's what you take out of here. And you fall deeper in love with him. This is about becoming lovesick. Men, get on your knees. Let him break you. Sometimes we think, you know, it's not manly to cry. Give me a break. Tears are a sign of strength. Let him massage your heart and change things within you, that you're pliable, that God can begin to speak to you in love songs. The men and the women of God, arise in the place of love. Arise in the place of what he has for you. If I danced like Damascene danced, I'd be in traction, okay? I would have. I wanted to. But my heart was dancing with Damascene. Let your heart dance with Jesus. Don't let nobody rob your joy. It is all about Jesus, and it will always be. Lord, I ask that you would cause us to become so lovesick with you, that you would change our habits, our thought patterns, that we would realize what a privilege it is to know you. We receive a new activity even today of the Holy Spirit, shifting this season into a season of love, of compassion, in a season of believing, of faith and not doubting, in a season of overcoming, in a season of walking with you, the bridegroom conquering king who's coming back in human glorified form to take his bride and to live for all eternity and to rule and reign with you. That's what we have to look forward to. So bless them as they leave out of here. Bless them throughout the day. And may they look toward you for your leadership, because your leadership is from a place of desire. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen.